Tuesday morning, we like to talk a little rugby. We're joined by Mr. Rugby, Jonathan Weeks. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, Bear. Good morning, everybody. Everybody watching, oh, sorry, listening on 981 2NM and 2NM.com.au.
They can watch if they like. Now, mates, you got a little bit of information about one of the great Waratahs, Stu Pinkerton.
Yeah, former skipper, of course. Wanderers Junior has been coach of the Newcastle Hunter side in the country championships for the last couple of years, and he's now jumped on board to be part of the Wildfires there in the Charterton Hall Shoot Shield for the next couple of years. He's basically going to be the guy that's going to be the go-between between the senior squad and trying to develop that young group of talent that we've been talking about for a while as it gets into the hundreds as far as the Hunter Academy. So it's really important when you set up a team, it's a, you know, really $1 million experience for Newcastle Hunter rugby to do that. It's about importing players in to get competitive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the long-term goal will be for Stu and Scott Coleman to get out there and get as many Hunter kids to come and play in that team so you don't have to go and spend so much money, not only paying for the players, but also getting them into housing and all that sort of stuff in Newcastle. So it's one of the great challenges when you set up a team properly is to have people who have a feel for what's going on. And like having Brent Dale as a development officer, and you can find out more from him by sending him an email at brent.dale@nsw.rugby. Stu Pinkerton is a Newcastle boy. He knows everything backwards and forwards about the whole situation, and hopefully, you know, in 5 years' time, that Newcastle and Hunter Wildfires side in the Shoot Shield will be a purely Newcastle and Hunter side.
Great to hear. Now, we did talk about this a couple of weeks ago. There's been some more movement on artificial fields.
Yeah, interesting to see that. Certainly talk to some players overseas. They're very cranky about having to play on artificial fields now. It's one-off expense. It's very expensive. But over the time of maybe 10 or 15 years, it's cheaper long-term to actually have an artificial field. Now, this is a phenomenon that mainly happens in Northern Hemisphere.
Yep.
And, of course, we've had a funny law that people may have looked at, that people are basically now to wear full-body suits for the use of another term. Something like a Caffrey Freeman suit from the 2000 Olympics where you're stopping yourself from getting grazing and cuts and bruises and all that sort of thing. You'll see it a lot on the Seventh Circuit in Canada and also America, and also with the NFL, where a lot of players are wearing padding to cover their arms, like Nick Kyrgios does with his sleeve.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things moving forward where a lot of the players are, quite frankly, sick of playing on those fields, not only for that, but the stress these particular fields put on joints, especially the knees and the ankles. Now, in Australia, we only really have Easts that have a artificial field. And having a chat with Will Skilton a few years ago when he played with Saracens, he said, look, he didn't mind actually playing on the actual field, but the constant stop-start when you're training is just absolutely dreadful. So it's something that the players' unions are going to have a look at with a bit more vigour. It's certainly something in the north that's a really big deal. So, but you look at it from a grassroots point of view, it's, you know, it's a minimum upfront spend. You have bad weather sometimes there, and it just destroys fields, and you're sort of self-defeating purpose of having to fix up your field every year where you're devoting hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to that. While if you get an artificial field, you just lay it down, hose it down once a month, and it's good to go for 15 or 20 years. So it's an issue that needs to be sorted out in the game, and as was, you know, noted, that World Rugby has put that into place. So they've basically saying, look, we can have artificial fields moving forward, but you know, you're going to have better technology so the players are better protected moving forward.
Well, I suppose, I mean, look, plenty of NFL players get around wearing long pants and they don't seem to complain about it, but I'm sure we will talk about that more. And finally, very quickly, the tests over the weekend, there was a close one between the Wallabies and Japan and a not-so-close one between the All Blacks and the United States.
Yeah, it just shows the second 15 All Blacks are still a fantastic side and from the off produced all the fantastic skills. In the second half, they got a little bit sloppy as they're up by 60 points, but they'll be very happy with that. So will the Washington NFL side. You talk about promotion. Wow.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But the Cadbury Wallabies played pretty well overall. Their scrum was pretty solid. Their line-out was good. But you're going to have some new players coming in a fortnight's time when they take on Scotland with Rory Arnold and also Will Skilton, which will not only improve the line-out, but just give them a bit more bulk to be able to carry the ball as well. So that'll be something to look forward to in the fullness of time when we get and have a chat about it on Saturday.
Don't think anything should be taken away from Japan. They're getting better and better. And you are right. We will catch up and talk more rugby on the Sideline View this Saturday. Thanks, Wixie.
Thanks very much, Beth.